Now lift those hands toward heaven and honor the Lord. I salute all the ministers that are here. Thank you for coming. Talk to the Father from your heart. Ask Him for an encounter tonight. Ask Him for an encounter tonight. Your life can change in a moment. He said in a moment, as in the twinkling of the eyes, He said we shall be changed. In a moment. The moment the glory and the presence of God manifest, metamorphosis begins to take place. And transfiguration is possible. Can we ask the Lord tonight? Ask Him for an encounter. Ask Him for an encounter. Yeshua. Yeshua. Empowerment that will cause us to stand as kingdom functionaries in a diverse world, bringing the witness and the government of your kingdom to bear. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, precious Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have declared. You may be seated. The subject I want to consider tonight is a volatile subject, but because it's my first session, I'll try to contain the atmosphere so that I communicate my point, because it's also a subject that has been a bit misunderstood, especially amongst us young people. And so I just want to outline some emphasis very strongly so that as you interact with the truth I'll be communicating, you will not just interact with it from the emotional threshold, but you interact with it from an in-depth understanding of Scripture so that you make the most of what this emphasis represents in the Spirit. And so I'll try as much as possible to keep the atmosphere as calm as possible so that you get it. And as you get it, you can walk in its reality and make the most of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, I'll be dealing with the subject of revival. Glory to God. And my burden tonight is not just for you to interact with the presence of God, but for you to understand what this subject really means. Because it has been bastardized. Many people think when we talk about revival, it's a move of emotions. where people just get excited, and most of the things you see and we call revival is flesh on the rampage. And so I want us to understand it. By the time I'm done teaching, then we'll worship briefly and trust God for an outpouring. Glory to God. As much as you can write some scriptures, take notes, and then go back, study it, because you need to understand it. Revival is one of the major events of the last days. And so you cannot be a saint in the last days and not understand or participate in the revival. Glory to God. This is why understanding of this subject is very key. And I trust the Lord to help us. But before I navigate to revival, let me begin with the rain, since that's the theme of the conference. Usually, during my first sessions, I like to do a little bit of exposition so that my teaching will have context. Hallelujah. When we are talking about rain from biblical context, there are two major dimensions we consider. The first is the natural dimension, and the second is the prophetic dimension. Glory to God. You can touch the keyboard for me so that you help my soul to be ventilated. I'm not a teacher like God's servant. He is an apostle and a teacher. Me, I'm an apostle and an evangelist. So sometimes I need to interact with him. He can sit on a verse of scripture and open all the dimensions. I'm not that deep with scriptures. Glory to God. So I flow as the Holy Ghost carries me. So there are two dimensions to the subject of the rain. There is the physical dimension and there is the prophetic dimension. Matthew 5 verse 45. The Bible speaking here said that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. This is a physical dimension of rain. Because, you know, God can be directly involved in your life, and he can also be indirectly involved in your life. When God is directly involved in your life, it will result in salvation, transformation, and transfiguration. Salvation is where your spirit man is regenerated and you become a child of God. That's salvation. Transformation is when God, through his word and his spirit, begins to enlighten your understanding and you begin to think and see things from the realm of God. And transfiguration is ultimately when God causes us to be clothed in glory and we are raptured to live with him forever. These are the three major implications of God's direct impact or involvement in a man's life. If God is directly involved in your life, it must result in salvation, because that's his priority. It must result in transformation, and it will ultimately involve or result in transfiguration. But it's also possible for God to be involved in your life indirectly. This is why even Satan is alive because of God. He doesn't have the power to exist. God is the one who occasions existence. This is why even those who think they don't love God, those who think they don't care about God, they are succeeding and surviving. It's because of God. Apart from the fact that he gave them life, he gave them wisdom and understanding. And apart from that, he also causes the systems to be favorable for whatever it is they are doing to prosper. You find some businessmen in our world today, they think God does not exist and they think they don't care about God. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, that giveth to every man liberally, that he might enjoy." So everybody is a recipient of God's benevolence. God is directly involved with his children, but indirectly involved with humanity. And one of the ways God blesses humanity is by allowing the elements of the cosmos to support our engagement. And one of the elements of the cosmos is the sun and the rain. There are farmers today who don't know God, but they prosper because of the rain. But in this conference, our focus is not on the physical dimension of rain. Our focus is on the spiritual or prophetic dimension of rain. Zacharias chapter 10 verse 1. He said, ask of him rain in the time of the latter rain. And he said, it shall cause bright clouds and release rain on every blade of grass. Now, this dimension of rain has a deeper implication. The implication of this dimension of rain and the prosperity of this dimension of rain has to do with your spiritual growth and the implication it holds on God's agenda. So when a man is truly watered by God, he will prosper spiritually, and his spiritual prosperity will translate to God's advancement. And so when you begin to study the scriptures, you will find out that the word rain is used in several contexts. And all of these contexts are prophetic contexts. And I give you five of them very quickly. Number one, the subject of rain is considered in the light of revival or the move of God. Every time we talk about rain, from a prophetic standpoint, we are talking about the outpouring of the Spirit. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2 to 3 said, after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and he shall cause us to live in his sight. Verse 3, he said, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth. He said, he shall come unto us as the rain. So when you see the outpouring of the Spirit, when you see the move of God amongst his people, it is a prophetic dimension of the reign of God. In Joel chapter 2, verse 23 and then 28, you see scriptures emphasize the prophetic implication of the reign in the light of revival. He said, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He said, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down to you the latter rain. He said, the former rain and the latter rain shall he give you in the first month. And then he went to verse 28 and said, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So when we are talking about rain in prophetic context, we are talking about the outpouring of the Spirit. And so, as you have come to this conference, one of the things that should inform your focus, one of the things that should inform your expectation, is revival. Now, people come for meetings, and sometimes the meeting is over, but they don't know what the meeting is about, because they don't even understand the theme of the meeting in the first place. When we say we are coming to the conference of the rain, what we are talking about is an activation of the spirit of revival in the lives of those who will connect to the operation of the Spirit in that conference. The second thing the rain represents in biblical context is the operation of the Word of God. When a man is watered by the Spirit of God, the Word of God is revealed to him. And I wish I have time to explain to you the consequences of all of the things I'll be itemizing here. That when the Word of God comes to a man, his life is changed forever. What came to Samuel and turned Samuel to a transgenerational phenomenon was the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4, the Bible said, in those days, the word of God was scarce. And it said, there were no open visions. And because that was happening, nobody was consequential in Israel, including the high priest. Suddenly, God began to call unto Samuel. 3 times, the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't even understand what it was, until Eli began to interpret to him that that was God calling him. And he said, when next you hear that voice, respond by saying, Lord, speak, thy servant is listening. And from that day, the life of the man changed. In verse 20 of that scripture, the Bible said, from Dan to Beersheba, it said it was known in all Israel that God was with Samuel. And it said not one word from Samuel fell to the ground. Because the word of the Lord came to him, he became a prince in the spirit. And it didn't happen only that time. Verse 21 of that scripture, 1 Samuel 3, the Bible said, and the Lord appeared again to Samuel in Shiloh. He said, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so when you see men who are powerful in the kingdom, they are not powerful because they have money. They are powerful because they are custodians of the word of God. The word of God has appeared to them. And because the word of the Lord has appeared to them, everywhere they dispense that word, the dominion and the government of God is established. Listen, one of the things that will make you powerful in life is when the word of the Lord comes to you. And one of the ways the word comes is as the rain. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11, it said, as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. So if you have come to this conference and you have not caught any word, you didn't know what the rain meant. And I can tell you, what will separate us into different cadres is the words that we have caught. See, there is no point envying anybody. Catch words. The moment you catch words, you will see gradients will be formed. Everybody is operating at the level of the words that he has caught. Everything you have that is not informed by the word is a mirage. Because even this word stands on the truth of the word of God. It said, by that word, all things were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. So when God wants to make anything out of your life, the way he does it is that he sends his word. Anything you are looking for in God, that the word of the Lord in that area has not been revealed to you, sir, you will never have it. Except you compromise. You can't have nothing with God except as the word brings it to you. So when we are talking about the rain, we are talking about the progression of the Rhema word. So when you leave this conference, one of the things that will begin to happen to you, apart from the revival that will be occasioned in your spirit, is that daily words will come to you. Daily. And when those words come to you, they can turn you from a prisoner to a prime minister. The Bible said the guy was in prison. Psalm 107 verse 17. Nothing happened. All the possible connections, he tried them. Even the butler that was going to the palace, he told him, please, when it becomes well with you, remember me. The guy did it. See, you are hoping somebody will talk about you to somebody. They will not remember. You are hoping somebody will rise up and help you. They will not rise up. You are hoping somebody will favor you. They won't favor you. But the moment your word comes, whether they like it or not, they will remember. Whether they want it or not, they will help you. Listen, most of the people helping people, they are not doing it because they feel like. They are doing it because they are compelled. And I tell myself, that's the realm of blessing I want to exist in. You know, sometimes some people call you around 2 a.m. and they say, God told me to send you this. They have a plan for it. Some want to build houses. Some want to marry. Some want to buy cars. But they can't sleep. In the midnight, sometimes some people reach out to me around 3 a.m. and I'm just talking to God. I say, don't they sleep? That's the only time God could secure their attention. And the moment God secured their attention, he was talking to them about me. He said, reach this man now and bless him. And they bless you. And some are put under obligation to bless you every month. They don't need your thank you. They are not blessing you because of you. They are blessing you because they are compelled. So when a man begins to rise to certain dimension, know that his word has come. He said, until the time that his word came. He said, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. How can a prisoner become a teacher of senators? Word has come. And so when we are talking the rain, we are talking traffic of words. And listen, you will not live here tonight until a word comes to you. A word will hit you that will turn your world around. Turn it. It will turn it around. And people will look at you and say, is Saul also among the prophets? I may not be born one, but words can make me one. You may not be born a millionaire. Words can make you one. You may not be born as a champion. Wars can make you one. That's why it doesn't matter how you came, but make sure you catch something. We call it katalambano. Some of us don't even wait for it to come. We look for it. We search it. Search it. Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, search ye out of the book of the law. If it has not come, you search. Search ye. He said, read. None of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said, his spirit has gathered it. So, if the word doesn't come, you go for it. But by all means, that rain must happen. And I prophesy over someone. Your word has come tonight. I say, your word has come tonight. In the name of Jesus. Look at the men that came to speak to you. And they were shooting wars. Some of you have been from the beginning of the conference till now. That is sitting under intense war for more than 5-6 hours. You must have caught some. And trust me, every word you catch will change your story. The rain is the operation of the word. Number three, the rain is the operation of the government of the presence of God. When we speak about the rain, we are talking about the cloud of God's presence. When we speak about the rain, we are talking about the manifest expression of the presence of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 and 2. We say, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and they passed through the sea. They were under the cloud. That's the rain. They were under the cloud. The cloud is the rain, and the rain is the presence. Exodus 13 verse 21 and 22. He said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and led them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. So when we are talking about the word of the rain, we are talking about a dimension God brings you to, where the presence of the Lord moves with you like a government. And guess what? When that happens in your life, oh my God, hope you know, almost his heart, when he went and came out of Egypt, was the presence. The Shekinah was all they had to travel through territories that were surrounded by beasts. When God gave them the Shekinah, he knew they had everything. And they could enter a city and carry stones and win the people. They didn't need any special, they didn't have bows, they didn't have arrows. All they had was the Shekinah. And a point came, people became so scared of them. They say any territory they pass, they lick it up. Because there was something empowering them. They were empowered by the cloud. And you need to take time to study about some of the kings they conquered. Go and read about Sihon, the king of the Amorites. Go and read about Og, the king of Bashan. The Bible says some of these men were beastly. Their soldiers were beastly. So that means you find men that were like tigers. If they slap you, you will die. Those were the people the Israelites conquered, because the Shekinah was with them. And that was not all. When they were coming to the land of Balak, the man knew that fighting them with physical weapon won't work. He went and called a prophet to curse them. And Balaam, the Bible said, if he blesses you, you are blessed. And if he curses you, you are cursed. And Balaam showed up, carried out all of his divination. There was no word to curse them. When Balaam opened his mouth to curse them, he starts blessing. He said, I have received a commandment to bless and not to curse. He said, how can I bless the one whom God has blessed? How can I curse the one whom God has blessed? He said, look at the tabernacles of Israel. He said, the shout of the king is in their midst. He now began to prophesy. He said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. He's not saying, you can't enchant Jacob. I checked the prophetic chronicles. I checked the chronicles of divination. There's no utterance there to curse them. That means in the demonic realm, there are no curses for people under the cloud. That's why he said, whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, he shall say of his God, he is my refuge and my buckler, my God in whom will I trust. He said, 1,000 fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. With your eyes you see and behold the recompense of the wicked. See, there is a realm you are operating where you fight curses. They curse you, you curse back. You cancel it. I can't be cursed. That's the realm. There's another realm when they cost you, they wasted their time. Because the cloud covers you. The cloud. It says, because you have made God, even the Most High, thy habitation, shall no evil come near thy dwelling. There's a realm where no evil comes near. So you are not exercising faith by saying, every tongue that rises against me, I shall condemn. That's a realm. There's another realm when they are cursing you, you are just singing, I have a very big God who is always by my side. A very big God by my side, by my side. And they are wondering, we have taken his name to Babalawo. The next time you come, the Babalawo will advise you, if it is that man you are bringing, it's not a day shrine. My colleague told me the last time they tried it, fire erupted and shut down the shrine. I'm not cursing that person. They will even look for you and apologize. I prophesy over someone. You are entering the realm where the Lord shall become your covering. I'm talking to you about the rain. The rain. This is the rain. Coming under the cloud. How do you think they conquer? Joshua alone conquered 31 kingdoms. You think it's warfare? You think it's strategy? There was a time they were fighting. Joshua 10:12. The man stood and said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said, even the sun cooperated with them. The sun did not make haste to go down. Because a man under the cloud functions like a god. Meanwhile, that's not all. Their garments grew with them. That's sufficiency. You sew clothes for your 1 year old child. He wears it till he's 40. It doesn't get torn and it grows with him. He said their shoes grew with them. It's a realm of supernatural sustenance. So you don't bother what is inflation or deflation. You are functioning by the economy of my God supplies all my need according to his riches. Not by your government, not by your economy. In glory, there is a dimension that is glory operated. So when we talk about the rain, it's not another good coinage. We are talking about the spirit of revival. When we talk about the rain, it's not another coinage. We are talking about the covering of the Holy Spirit. And trust me, unless you are not ready to be a champion, ask your pastor, he will tell you the fight you fight the moment you become visible. When you are a mediocre, nobody bothers about you. When you are a failure, nobody bothers about you. You are the only one crying for your failure. When you rise, that's when you see the warfare of life. You are here, you are having a vision of starting a business that will impact the world from Lagos. You are here, you are hoping to start a ministry that will impact the world. You are here, you are all hoping to start an institution that the world will reckon with. You will see beast of Ephesus. You will see wicked and unreasonable men. You will see principalities and powers. Trust me. You will need a covering beyond everything that human connection can provide. And that covering is called the rain. Some people will vow that until you fail, they will not sleep. That will be their own ambition in life. They will speak evil against you everywhere they are permitted to open their mouth, as though it's their occupation. But why will it be useless? Because something covers you that men can't understand. It said there is no enchantment against Jacob. Something covers you because the shout of the king is in their midst. That's what we are talking about. When we say the rain, we are talking about the technologies that operate in the realms of the supernatural. It said, gather together, you will scatter. It said, take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Because our God is in our midst. Our God is in our midst. So your gathering means nothing. Listen, when they tell you the head of the company has gang up against you, it doesn't mean anything. Something is covering you that is stronger than him. If they tell you 200 people ganged up, it means nothing. It means nothing. I'm telling you, if God needs to bring strategic wisdom, he will bring it. If he needs to bring a connection beyond them, he will bring it. But by all means, that covering will not allow you to be put to shame. That is the rain. This conference you came into, something will happen to you. It's after the conference you will realize. Some of you, the battles you were fighting that you were hopeless about, you will just discover you came out of it. You have come under the rain. The gang ups that wanted to destroy you, you will be shocked that they will still be talking, you will be rising. And then you will discover that their talk is becoming louder. How come the impact is diminishing? It's the cloud. is the cloud. God will not silence them. They will keep talking, but they will discover that their counsel have become foolishness. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Number four, when we speak about the rain, we are talking about an operation of divine blessings. A dimension of divine blessings that is beyond your effort. Isaiah chapter 32 from verse 13 to 15. See what the Bible says. It says, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. It says, yea, upon all the houses of joy and the joyous city. So there is also a demonic technology that frustrates men. There's also a demonic technology that turns the joy of men to sorrow. And God is saying, this does not just happen to people in the world. He said, upon the house of my people, these kinds of things happen sometimes. He said, upon the land of my people, these things happen. Go to verse 14. I'm showing you what the rain means. He said, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the fort and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and pasture of the flock. So you see absolute desolation. He said in verse 15, he said, but until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. That means this thing will continue until the rain of the Spirit comes. And he said, when that happens, he said, the wilderness shall be turned to a fruitful field, and the fruitful field can be turned to a forest. So when we are talking about the rain, we are talking about a system of supernatural upliftment and blessing. So this is not just another conference where you are excited. That's why I told you, these things are beyond excitement. Understand what they mean so that you can engage them by faith. The problem with our generation is that we are too emotional that we have become bankrupt of spiritual intelligence. So people are singing and shouting, they don't know why. And that is why, with all our excitement, there are no proofs from our life to validate what we claim we are doing. Because you don't even know how to enforce it. You don't know how to insist on dimensions. I can't come under the rain and not be revived. I can't come under the rain and the word of the Lord is this curse. I want to marry, I don't have a word. I want to start a business, I don't have a word. I'm going to ministry, I don't. That kind of word barrenness can happen if I'm under the rain. I can't be under the rain and the presence of God does not cover me. What is happening to the godless man is happening to me. I will refuse. Because I say there is a rain over my life. That's what these things imply. And I cannot be under the rain and not prosper. I labor with all my strength and yet I have nothing. What is the proof that God is benevolent? This is why you must understand this thing so that you can contend in faith. Contend. You can contend. And finally, the rain is a system of divine judgment. Genesis 7 verse 4. It says, for yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. So when God releases the rain, while he's blessing his people, he's judging the wicked. So that you have come under this conference means anybody who refuses to repent and has pitched his tent against you for no just cause, judgment will visit them. That's what I'm... I know some of these things by experience. So when I share them, sometimes I get emotional. A wicked man rose up and said, my dad must die. Why? His children are doing well. They are educated. They are married. They are all prospering. Why he is in the village? Oh God, if you didn't make the right choices in your life, what is the business of your brother? Out of wickedness. I came back from journey. They told me, my dad came. What happened? They said, partial paralysis. Prostrate cancer. What does that mean? Doctors came with explanation. I said, that's from the pit of hell. What do you mean by pasha? You don't fight it, it will become a pattern. Because when you too get to that age, you start seeing the symptom. When your son gets to that age, you start seeing the symptom. This is why gatekeepers must rise. So that we stop demonic order from becoming a warfare in the bloodline. What do you mean by that? I went to the place of prayer with my friend at night. And while we were praying, my ears opened. I saw three men gathered together and were discussing. This thing I told you. How can he be prospering? See his children, they are doing well. Is this the reason? My prayer moved from fellowship prayer. I entered warfare. You know, there is a realm where we can pray. Maros tavahastes. Zeliga pondra afragisto bragadiga asda lavanas. Zagza deligashta. But when you see some things, those things you are seeing will modify your syllables. You won't know when you will move from La Roste Frekida because evil angels will change formation. Warring angels will come. Warring angels. And as they touch you, they think something will happen inside. You will be clothed. Hope you know the Bible didn't say the Holy Ghost will put the garments, the armor of God on you. It's a you put on the whole armor of God. You are the one that put it on. It's not the Holy Ghost that put it on you. So when you see certain dimension, you will discover, where is my helmet of salvation? Where is my belt of truth? Where is my boot? Why do you think some of you, when you are in battle, suddenly you are going for all evangelism? You know that you need to be ready for the gospel in order for spiritual chukuchuku not to affect your leg. Mahole feketuna paragata. As I was roaring, my eyes opened. I saw a beam descend from heaven. He was in the form of a man, but he was shining like the sun. I knew judgment had come, and I released judgment. In 3 days, my dad became perfect. He would have been on drugs for a lifetime. Listen, I know the place of certain ailments that can happen. Maybe you are growing old, you are not giving to exercise, or you eat too much sugar, and all of those careless living. I know that. But I know when the hand of the devil is involved. And we passed judgment. 3 days he became perfect. And trust me, men went down. So when I tell you this thing, I know what I'm telling you. You came to this conference to be equipped. And one of the ways you'll be equipped will be by spiritual intelligence. The rain is judgment. See, some of the things you have tolerated, this conference is enough. It's enough. As you are living here now, you are telling yourself, no more debt. No more shame. No more marital stagnation. No more poverty. No more waste. That's what this judgment is about. You are releasing the sword of the judgments of God. Judgment. Judgment. The rain speaks of the judgment. And listen, it's not just about the conference. The last days are times of the outpouring. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 said, in the last days, hear the Spirit of the Lord, I will pour out. I will pour out. He said, the house of the Lord shall be upon the mountains of the Lord. And men of all nations shall say, let us go to the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways. And then Joel 2:28, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. So it's the period of the rain. This is the season of the rain. Listen, there are some men that say, your ministry won't prosper. If they don't repent, they have to give way. There are men that say, your family must waste. You have begged God. You have tried diplomacy with them. It's not working. Okay? Go to the altar. Go to the altar. The warrior in you must wake up. That's what the rain came to do. The rain is an activator of the spirit of judgment. And when the spirit of judgment is activated, the lion, the lamb turns to the lion. Remain a lamb, you will be slaughtered. Jesus was a lamb in obeying God. Not a lamb to be a puppet of Satan. You can't be a lamb in the face of judgment. When we speak of the rain, we are talking about divine judgment. Genesis 9:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstones of fire out of heaven. Out of heaven. Judgment comes out of heaven. And anybody who has pitched his tent against you for no just cause, if they don't repent, let the sword of judgment be released. If they don't repent,
let the sword of judgment be released. In the name of Jesus.
This is the rain. And we speak about the rain, we are talking about the spirit of revival. The outpouring of the spirit. When we speak about the rain, we are talking about the operations of the word of God. That's what shifts you from one level to another. When we speak about the rain, we are talking about the government of the presence of God that envelops you and shields you from every attack of the devil. When we speak about the rain, we are talking about supernatural blessings that improves your life and brings you into abundant existence. And when we speak about the rain, we are talking about judgment. This is what the rain represents. And so when the rain is on your life, these things must manifest. And I prophesy over someone, you will not come for any session of this conference and it will not be visible that there's no rain in your life. Because you have come and because you have received the word of the Lord, as you step out of this conference, all of these dimensions, they will manifest in your life. Because of my time, let me touch the spirit of revival for 10 minutes. Then we'll start praying. You know, I told myself, contain yourself and share this. Let them get the point. You know, before now, I used to be a traveler. And that's all I did. So if I come, I just blow everywhere open. I blow everywhere open. But people were not having spiritual facts to trade with. It's possible to preach a 2 hour message and people are high, but there's nothing they're holding on to. I now discovered you can use 5 minutes to blow everywhere open, but give people something that they can anchor their faith upon. If you leave this meeting now, at least you know that revival is your birthright. If you leave this meeting now, you know that blessings is a reality in your life. If you leave this meeting now, you are conscious that the canopy of God's presence is upon you. If you leave this meeting now, you know you are supposed to take responsibility for judgment to be passed on the enemy. He said, every tongue that rises up against you, he didn't say God will condemn. He said, in judgment thou shall condemn. You don't rise up, Satan will make a mess of you. But let's deal with revival. Very quickly, I want to give you the precursors of revival. The things that provokes revival. So that as the atmosphere begins to build up, you will know the ones that God has quickened in your spirit and you begin to trade with them. The way spiritual things work is that all of the realities may not be activated in you, but the one God activates in you, hold it and master it. 2 people can become great in a generation. One is a teacher. He may never see any vision, but his job is that he can open scriptures. If he carries 1 verse of scripture and begin to open it, you will not know that scripture is that deep. And if he becomes a master in doing it, God can exalt him to the highest level. Another one will be a radical seer. The moment he stands, he starts seeing the spirit realm. The spirit realm and the natural realm literally are bridged together. And he can talk the natural into the spirit and talk the spirit into the natural. He will use that sight and become great. Another one will carry healing so much that anywhere he touches, miracles happen. Another one will have wisdom. He can explain principles that if you listen to him, in 2 weeks you can become a millionaire. The one who is a seer has no business envying the one who talks wisdom. The one who talks wisdom has no business envying the one who do miracles. All of them have just got a dimension. If it's one you have, sit on it. If you are diligent, it will bring you the same result that the other person who seemed to have something different and even more spectacular commands. That's how this thing works. If you see in the 70s, in the days of the Billy Grahams and the Oral Roberts, you see that Billy Graham was an evangelist. He just preached the cross. In fact, stories we heard was that there was a time when a miracle took place in the crusade. The man didn't even have so much time to make any loud ovation about it. He just preached the cross and did altar calls. But that man was so impactful in the United States that they revered him as one of the greatest evangelists to have lived. Meanwhile, there was the Oral Roberts that if he finished preaching, he sits down. The power of God was in his palm. He will lay it on you. You must be healed. One had miracles. The other one had a fiery message for salvation. And all of them became mighty. The problem we have is that we don't develop what we have. We focus on what God gave somebody else. And we never have that one. And we end up not developing this one. So we end up as mediocres. Everybody can carry the spirit of revival. When that spirit comes, there are precursors in your spirit. When it begins to stir anyone, hold on to it and you'll be shocked. You may not be praying like the other brother. Prayer is not the only precursor for revival. There are other things that produces revival. Only make sure you know the one that is activated in your spirit so that you keep the fire burning. This is why I want to give you 5 precursors of revival. If you are having true revival, these things will be awoken in your spirit. Number one, anybody who wants to see revival must be exposed to the word of God. The preaching of the word activates revival. That's why some of you are on fire so long as you are hearing the word of God. The Holy Ghost troubles you that sometimes every day you are hearing 3 messages or you are reading a whole book. Some of you are reading chapters on a daily basis. That's revival happening to you. It's a precursor of revival. When you are open to the progressive, the preaching, the errand of the word, you see that the fire of God is sustained. The day that hunger dies, revival will die. And some of you think that you must do what somebody else is doing in order to be revived. And you left the one that has woken up in you to pursue the other one. And you can't achieve it. You now kill it. Everywhere the word progresses to, revival happens. Psalm 119 verse 25. He said, my soul cleave unto the dust. He said, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken thou me according to thy word. This is why if you read the Acts of the Apostles especially, you will notice that quickenings happen when the word is preached. And some of you, the key to your sustaining the fire is your openness to the preaching of the word of God. As long as you are hearing the word, you will be on fire for God. If you stop, your revival will die. Now, many can happen, but at least one must happen if revival will take place. In Acts chapter 2 verse 37, the Bible said when they heard Peter, he said they were caught in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And the moment they were saved, 3,000 was added to the church just by hearing the preaching of the word. Revival began to take place. Revival. There are most of you here. God opened an appetite for the word in your spirit. You killed it with movies. You killed it with talking with friends. And now you are looking for revival. If you want revival, go and dig that well again. You must sit under the word for the fire to be activated in your spirit. It's a precursor for revival. And this is why the apostles knew they littered Jerusalem with their message. Acts 5:28, the Bible said they filled Jerusalem with their message. The elders threatened them, never preach in the name of this man. But they filled Jerusalem because they know that if the word is in circulation, revival will take place. You think the devil doesn't know? Why do you think you look at the internet today? Every graphic is pornography. They know what you see and hear has an impact on your soul. You are the only one who doesn't know. That's why you open yourself to all forms of garbage. And when you say it, people ask you, is it a sin? It's not a sin. That's why you have been lukewarm for the past 10 years. You carry the phone of a believer. He's flooded with secular. And those of you in Lagos, I pray for you. We don't have too many worldly stars in Abuja. At least there's a little bit of serenity. But you are in Lagos. This is their headquarters. They are all here. All the big boss you are looking at is from one promo to another promo. From one advert to another advert. From one event to another event. And every bus you enter, every street is loud. You know the songs that are released 2 weeks before they are released. You can even sing all the lyrics. I fear for you. I tell you, I fear. Because your soul is choked and clogged. But for those of you who want revival, oh my God, you will saturate yourself with the word of God. Because if the word goes out, revival goes out. In Leviticus 6:12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. How do you keep the fire? He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. The wood is the word of God. You find a generation that is cast of the world. That's why we are not on fire. Listen, it's important to know what God is doing with others. But if it's genuine revival you are looking for, the word of God must fill you. It must saturate you. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. In what? In psalms. In hymns. In spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms are the word. If you want the fire to remain, the word must be rich in your spirit. So revival is not just about attending a meeting. When you walk out of that meeting, what is in your spirit? When you find men who carry fire, they are loaded with the word of God. They talk it, they think it, they meditate it. Even when they are sleeping, word activity is happening inside them. If you like, be known and be popular for talking fire, it doesn't mean you are on fire. Most of us who are doing fire is adrenaline, is youthfulness. I'm telling you, somebody is on fire the moment he carries microphone. He's praying. If he drops the mic, fire finishes. Those are camera fire. People are praying. The moment camera is coming close, you are a joker. When we want to see how on fire you are, we will follow you to the market. We will follow you to your school. We will follow you to your house. That's what shows that you are on fire. You talk for 2 hours, there's no word. That means your spirit is empty of the word. And you cannot be empty on the word and be revived. It's not possible. The first precursor for revival is the word. The second precursor for revival is brokenness and repentance. You find somebody who is on fire, check. You will see the measure of brokenness in his life. It will be heavy. I tell my people, you can't say you are walking with God and be proud. Which God is that? If a governor comes to this place now, and most of you can't even stand near them. Because if you stand around anybody that you perceive to be great, it will sponsor humility in you immediately. How many of you can stand with people you consider leaders and do some of the things you do in church? You can't try it. Because the presence of a superior entity imparts brokenness on you. So a man who claims he has seen God, a man who claims he's on fire, must of necessity sustain humility. Our generation is too arrogant to claim that revival is happening. That kind of revival I fear is not from God. Go and check the stories of the fathers who were revived. Some of them, even after 50 years, because of the weight of the encounters they have, you can still trace the fragrances of humility around them. You can trace it as big as they are. But you know that these men, they've seen something that is bigger than them. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, he knew it's an error to introduce himself as a national prophet. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among the people of unclean lips. He humbled him immediately. Because only the seraphims, if you see one, you will tremble. Meanwhile, these seraphims are messengers of the supreme one. And you see that kind of being, you still come out, you say, you know who I am? You are nothing. You are nobody. You have not seen nothing. If you see God, you will know you are nothing outside him. Revival is activated. 2 Chronicles 7:14, popular scripture. If my people who are called by my name. So when we talk revival, we are not talking sinners. We are talking the people of God. If my people who are called by my name, number one, humble themselves. God is showing you the protocol. And pray. You humble before you pray. That's why prayer itself should be a sign of humility and dependence on God. This prayer of peacockish kind of lifestyle is Pharisaism. Today we want to pray to show people that we have capacity, we are stature, we are jokers. The prayer that sponsors revival comes from humble yourself. If my people who are called by myself, if they humble themselves and pray, and then turn their faces from evil, I will hear them. I will come to them and heal their land. So if it's revival we are looking for, we must humble ourselves. Look at the way Isaiah 57 verse 15 puts it. You will know God knows the kind of people he revives. God doesn't revive everybody. He said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place. He said, with him also that is of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. You know what he said? I don't only dwell in the high and lofty place. I dwell with humble people. That's what God is telling us here. He said, to revive the spirit of who? Not the man of prayer. I will revive the man of prayer if he's humble. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is why our pride and our flesh is the first thing that negates revival. If it's genuine revival we want to experience, we must master. See, you need to tell yourself every day, this my look is a proud look. This my talk is a proud talk. This my way of life is an arrogant. You talk to yourself so that you have the consciousness that you need to be broken. And then you say, Lord, help me. There are times when you show up in a place because of the ovation they give you. You are acting humble outside, but in your mind you are saying, these people know me. The Holy Ghost will leave you. I'm telling you, these are organic realities. And many don't know it. When you say revival, they think it's about, it's adrenaline, sir. By the time you are 60, 70, nobody will tell you that those things, that somersault is for youthfulness. And when you are old, you can't do that again, but you must still be on fire. So you will know that fire is not gymnastics. Now, don't stop it if you are a young man, so long as you are doing it as you are led by the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost takes functions through our emotional verbs. He uses them. He permeates them. So that's you expressing your youthfulness. But know that it's those movements that is the reviver, not the external gymnastics. Because when you grow old, the gymnastics will stop, you still be on fire. And this is why for you to be truly revived, you must be humble. It's your humility that empowers your prayer before even revelation. Number three, precursor of revival is praying and waiting. So that somebody doesn't say, I'm talking down on prayer. Everywhere you find revival, people cried and called upon the name of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember judgment. Everywhere there was revival, men cried. Men cried. Psalm 85 verse 6, the Bible said, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? It takes prayer for revival to happen. Acts 2 verse 1, the Bible said they were in one accord. That means they were in the place of unity and prayer. And it said, suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. If we want to see revival, we must pray. If you are not humble, your prayer won't do much. And if you don't pray, your humility won't achieve much. So the whole must be married together. Acts 4:31. After they had prayed, the Bible said the place where they were was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So when people desire revival and when the reign of revival comes, it activates passion for prayer. When that passion is there, know that revival is imminent. Number four, what is the precursor of revival? Is a consistent pursuit of holiness. We are not seeking genuine revival if we still have doctrines that have caveats to accommodate sin. All of this doctrine you hear that righteousness is just the nature, it doesn't matter what you do, is the reason why our generation will never see God. And revival is not just, I'm born again, so I'm revived. You are joking. I will show you the evidences of revival. Because everywhere revival happens, there are effects that it leaves behind. Because there are many who tell you a born-again Christian does not need revival. And that born-again Christian is living in fornication. That born-again Christian has not won two souls in 1 month. That born-again Christian has no evidence, signs, and miracles in his life. Meanwhile, everywhere we saw revival, we saw those indicators. So how can you claim that you are born again, you don't need revival? Meanwhile, the impact of your Christianity is nothing compared to the apostles of the first. Are you not deceiving yourself? This is the problem we have. We have created doctrine that keep people in sin. Oh, you don't need to repent.
When Christ died for you, he forgave you all your sins. And people are living in sin. I'm not against the fact that the blood of Jesus cleansed us. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, if you don't repent, you will shipwreck your conscience. You will shipwreck your faith through your hardened conscience. And if your faith is shipwrecked, what kind of Christian are you? We just tell people things. And there are people today who say they are coming to the presence of God with boldness. And they are living in sin. And when they come to church and act emotionally, they think that is it. If we will see genuine revival, we must pursue holiness. We must pursue it and be mindful of it. It must become our consciousness. Because there is no generation God uses that does not stay in the place of holiness. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them. It says, and be holy. Touch not the unclean things. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be holy. They must be clean. Come out. We must pursue holiness if it's revival we are looking for. Is it not Hebrews 12 verse 13 now? Check it for me. That says to follow peace with all men and holiness. Hebrews 12 14. Without which no man shall see God. If we say God is upon us so evidently that a revival is happening and we are not holy, that thing is not God. They say, without holiness, no eyes, no man shall see God. A generation can't claim they are seeing God and walking with God without holiness. They that bear the vessels of God must be holy. Forget this organizational church that we are running, where everything has been so systematic that we need a degree in linguistics, a degree in organization, guidance and counseling to run church. And we have no signature in the spirit. I'm not against excellence. But if excellence is at the expense of holiness, that thing is a charade. Holiness. It's so bad now that if you find 10 Christians, you'll be shocked how many of them are struggling with issues. And they will tell you that, my brother, it's not easy. All of us are dealing with it. It's not all of us. It's all of you. Don't blanket your experience on everybody. What do you mean by all of us? Who told you this? Are you following this? See, this is why we need to understand this truth. So I'm telling you, I can close my note now and vaporize in this place and turn this place upside down, but you may not catch much. You need revival. Repentance is a must. You need revival. Humility and brokenness is a must. You need revival. Prayer is a must. You need revival. Pursuit of holiness is a must. Go and end that relationship with that girl that you sleep with every 2 weeks. And you come back and cry, Lord, Lord, Lord. Those tears is a biochemical process. There's no spirituality in it. That is biochemical, physiological process. And that's why when you are done crying, you feel okay. You think you are well with God. You will not see God. You will not see the power of God. You will burn that bridge. You know those days when we were trying to connect to God and learning the ways of God. When any preacher begins to preach like this, people start getting afraid. If their girlfriend is in the meeting, if you are somebody's girlfriend here, I came for you. That relationship is over. If he wants to marry you, let him go to your father's house and do the right thing. You are not a toy for him to play with every week. Your destiny is at stake. And if you are a young man that is being pursued by a Jezebel, your deliverance is now. If their heart is beating, let it beat. You are delivered in the name of Jesus. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no eyes shall see God. Sir,
Can I tell you something? I did all the emotional jamboree, but I became frustrated. Why do the fathers, sometimes they are talking, you are sleeping. But when they say, in the name of Jesus, you will see literal blind eyes open. If they say, in the name of Jesus, you will see a cripple with dry legs stand up and start walking. We have all the atmosphere running around like people that they pour drums of water on, but headache can't go. I knew something was wrong. Emotional people are crying and falling everywhere. They fall. 5 minutes later, they rise up. They are insulting somebody while they are going home from the meeting. I knew something was wrong. What did the fathers catch? They went to scriptures. They know the truth. They do it according to the word. Meanwhile, some of the most radical revivers, there were no keyboards. They just clap hands. And that was it. Even demons knew. They will enter cities. Demons will run. Have you not heard some confessions? That men are entering a city. So they, when they come, they don't come for a meeting. They come for cities. Because you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be healed. And they enter cities and demons advise themselves for the next 30 days. Don't come there. The angels that came with the man, some of them are behind. And they can injure you. And cities are besieged when this man came in. What did they carry? They did it according to scriptures. Internet has corrupted everything. Even prayer now, people can't pray until they put camera on them. And we say we want to see revival. Pastors are master crisis managers now. When you talk of crisis and crisis management, conflict resolution. Pastors are masters. You will sit down. The choir director has slept with two people for the glory of God. In order for... Wow. Wow. And we are managing iniquity in our camp. He said, there is no perverseness found in Jacob. There is no iniquity found in her. That is why the shout of the king is in their midst. He has not found perverseness in Jacob. A whole camp, over 4 million people. He has not found perverseness. And we are a church of 25. All the iniquity in the world is there. And when we come for revival meeting, everybody is ready for emotion. Hey, hey. Throw those things away. If there's no holiness, there's no revival. Number five, my last point, is love and unity. We hate ourselves more than demons hate humans. You don't know what is happening in church. You think demons hate men. Go and see the hatred that exists between some brethren. Nowadays, you can't even talk when a brother or a sister is around. You know you are finished. If they discover anything, you are gone. In the days of the fathers, when people discover you have an issue, they have burdens to pray for you. A brother can call another brother and say, let's pray for Sister Martha. I heard yesterday that she was struggling with masturbation. And they will pray until you are delivered. But today, if they just say they saw you around the hotel, the next person that will carry the news will say, is it not that one that they say is sleeping around in every hotel in Lagos? Did you hear? Of course, I heard it. What did you hear? That's where we are. You think God will take the risk to entrust us with power? Won't we kill ourselves? We will kill ourselves. Imagine if we have the kind of power that the fathers had, that even when they crack joke, things happen. A man can say, you can't be mad, and madness lives. Just talking casually. A man says, there can't be sickness here. And they check 30 years later, nobody's sick. A man goes to a river to shower and says, Kai, this water is cold. Anybody that comes to this water, let him receive the refreshing of the Spirit. And people start receiving baptism from that water. Not talking casually. These were the powers the fathers handled.
If God give us those kind of power, you will come to church on Sunday, we'll be two. What happened? We have killed ourselves. That mad Abigail thinks she's joking with me, she will go mad. That useless Peter, you will die, Matthew. And then when you come to church, church of 200, there are five people. Where is everybody? Somebody went mad. The other one became useless. The other one died. Because power. So when God sent us out, he said, withdraw power from these people for their own good. Listen to the key for power. In Luke 24:49, he said, tarry together until you are endued. So first, you must be able to coexist like this. That means we first of all pass the test of staying together. Now, try to live together with a brethren for five days. You will hear somebody call from Lagos. That brother, who now they see? No, be true. All those things when they do not lie. I don't live with them for house. Forget all those things. They will ridicule you everywhere. You will think you are helping somebody. He's black. He's setting you up. He said, for genuine power to come, we must prove that we can live together. Gather together until you are endued. And they migrated from being together to one accord. Acts 2 verse 1. They were together in one accord. That means their connection was beyond the building. They entered mental frequency. So if somebody offends you, you look at you and say, no, this person is good. He's just a young Christian. He doesn't have to apologize. I forgive him. That's one accord. Somebody fails, you look at you and say, Kai, hi. The problem I know is money. He would have done it, but maybe he didn't have food. And then you, for him not to be embarrassed, you give somebody money to give him. If he had money, he wouldn't have failed in that promise. He would have come. I know it's because he didn't have money. So you are creating excuse for the brother. Because now you can bear one another's burden. Not this one that people are even explaining themselves. You refuse until they are destroyed. You move from together to one accord. And then in Acts 2:46 and 47, the Bible said they now move from one accord to singleness of heart. You just read the Acts of the Apostles, you think power just came down. There was a protocol, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and what? Singleness of heart. In Acts 2:1, they moved from together to one accord. Acts 2:46, they move from one accord to singleness of heart. This church, power is natural. If you read verse 47, the Bible says God added to the church daily. They saw increase daily. They saw supernatural daily. It became daily. That's how they walk revival. Go and see where three pastors gather. You will laugh. The one who thinks is a bigger minister will come in and look at everybody as if they are learners. If you don't greet him well, he will not connect with you. In fact, you who is failing must seek the face of the one who is succeeding. And you must prove to him that he's bigger than you before any relationship can happen. In fact, if you call him, he won't pick. When they tell him you want to reach him, he will say, don't you know the protocol? Man, wait, why this is your brother in faith? I know the place of honor, but I'm just telling you the level of big cadence. In fact, when you even sit with five pastors, you will see some people will be quiet. They will not. Until only the people they perceive to be their mate in that company speak. Those are the ones they respond to. If you are not their mate, if you talk, they won't respond. They have to show that they are not part of that dialogue. And we say we want revival. Are we not joking? Go and read about the fathers. Somebody's ministry is failing. Another one whom God has helped will reach out to him and support him so that his ministry will stand, and he will never mention it. That's why they had revival. Even the late Archbishop, don't you hear his stories? He can travel from his city and come to somebody else's city and say, you have struggled for too long. Now you must be ordained today. Start the work and support you with money. Nobody will hear. And then you are wondering, how did they command so much power? Go to the mountain if you think it's only prayer. Our heart is not ready for power. We are too selfish and self-centered. Don't you look around you? Why do you think you hardly find
connection in the body of Christ in a vertical way. Because the moment somebody perceives is bigger than you, you can never have relationship until it's publicly known that he's your mentor. And I'm not speaking against honor. I know the place of honor. I emphasize honor. But I'm saying, if we have to practice witchcraft just to have our territory secured, we're not ready for revival. No unity, no oneness, and we are trusting God for powers. Powers of the ages to come. Powers that you, one man can shut down a whole city. Do you know the enormous dimension of angels that respond to the words of such men? And with our small minds and selfishness, we think we can command that level of power. It doesn't work like that. If you even have a problem and you reach out to somebody you perceive is more senior than you, please help me. This is my challenge. It will, before you know, 20 people have heard. And he may never pray for you, because he doesn't have your time. But he has the time to castigate you amongst people. That's why sometimes you hear about yourself in certain corridors. You are wondering, who have my time to come and discuss me here? Because even you know that you are inconsequential to be a topic here. For brother, in the body of Christ today, they can discuss you anywhere, because we have the time. And that's why we can't see revival. You want to see revival? There must be genuine love and unity. See, the time has come when you should just call somebody and love the person. Love on him. I saw your clip yesterday. I was so blessed. Sir, may God continue to prosper you. May God encourage you, remain strong. And end the call. You see a brother who is doing a meeting, he's struggling. Look for his account number, send money and encourage him. That's revival. That's the spirit of revival. You enter certain meetings, you see that the sound, the generator has off 4 times. It's not a place to take an honorarium from. When you want to leave, so into the buy a generator for them. That's the spirit of revival. I'm telling you, this is why we can't see dimensions of God. Rather, we come, we want to show the people we are doing better. We have shown you some privilege by coming around. I hope you appreciate the privilege that I came. Some of us don't invite people much. We just remain in our small place. Let's be growing. Let's just grow at our pace. Before somebody comes and makes you feel you are not ready, you have not started ministry. In fact, stepping here today is the biggest honor that this ministry has had since the inception. Because he's bigger than the Holy Ghost that is there every day. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Hey. Elohim Adonai. Please hear me. I am not saying good things are not happening, but I'm just telling you, largely, we need restoration and repentance. Largely. There are many good things happening. I've been blessed by senior ministers and elder brothers. I've been blessed. But I'm saying, largely, we need God to help us. Because there is a quorum that we have to attain for certain things to be released. There's a quorum. That's where revival comes. So as we pray tonight, I want you to pray with understanding. Don't just pray emotionally. Lord, teach me brokenness. Teach me. Those are the prayers. Teach me brokenness. I'm too arrogant. Teach me. Lord, teach me to love my sister. Teach me to love my brother. Lord, teach me the way of repentance. My conscience has become hardened. I'm comfortable with iniquity. Those are the prayers. Praying from the place of understanding. Lord, give me hunger for prayer, not for show on the altar. By the time we begin to pray correctly, it will shorten the time for revival. Can we pray? I wish I had time to show you the effects when revival happens. Maybe tomorrow morning I will touch it. But hear this. When genuine revival begins to happen, there will be empowerment for soul winning. That's when individuals can win cities. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ. The whole city was taken. That's revival. Lagos does not need 100 pastors. If revival begins here, 3 people can shut down Lagos. 3. You will see capacity. Capacity like you have never seen. Now, hope when you go to redemption camp, those things you see, they are the things they caught during the whole revival. And it has remained till date. That in the period of protest, that some of us are having to shut down our meeting. Streets have been shut down. And millions are going to redemption camp. So you know that those capacities are the indicators of revival. And if revival begins again, our generation will tap into it. So that you can go to a city and the city shut down. Not just because of publicity. See, the way the fathers did it was power evangelism. Because they didn't go to cities where they were known. They went to cities where they were not known. The meeting can start with 20 people. But they will make sure notable miracles happen. So it is the people of the city that amplify the meeting. By the time they are there, on the fourth day, the city has shut down. You will know that what is happening here is the finger of God. Go and read Acts chapter 13, verse 44. In verse 41 and 42, Paul preached. The next Sunday, the Bible said the whole city gathered. That's revival. Capacity for evangelism. Peter preached. 3,000 was added to the church. Acts 2, 37 and 41. The next time, there were 5,000. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. What happened? It's revival. If we are struggling to win souls, we need revival. That's why I'm saying it's not a born again Christian does not need revival. How many souls have you won in 1 month? When revival comes, there will be hunger for soul winning. When revival comes, number 2, there will be manifestations of signs and wonders. Wonders that cannot be refuted. If you read Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 15, the Bible said many signs did God did by the hands of the apostles. It said multitudes came. And in verse 15, the Bible said they had to put men on the street for the shadow of Peter to heal them. That's revival. Acts 4:33, it said with great power God gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace was upon them. But how did that happen? The place where they were was shaking. And they were filled again with the Holy Ghost. If we are struggling with miracles, we need revival again. Because there is a revelational level. There is a hunger level that sponsors the miraculous. You don't desire it to a level you can't see it. It's revival that jacks us up to that level. That's what we are talking about. When revival comes, number 4 or number 3, there will be joy. Joy that transcends every circumstance. When Philip preached in Samaria, Acts 8, 5 to 8, the Bible said there was great joy in the city. Not in the house of Philip, the whole city was engulfed with joy. That's revival. When revival happens, there is prosperity. I read for you already from Isaiah 32, verse 15. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. The fruitful field becomes a forest. And then when revival happens, there is social and cultural transformation. Because righteous men who fear God will be in authority. And Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous rule, he said, the people rejoice. When you see that there is lack of social transformation and reconstruction, we need revival. Go and check the history. Many places where revivals took place, most of the social-cultural values that are good that we have today were born from such cities. And finally, there's church growth. It's a church God added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Why? Because it's not about church number, it's about salvation. When they are saved, they'll be added. God added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. So people are saved. That's the proof that church grows. Because when they are saved, they come to church. But for all of these things to happen, we must cry for revival. He said, ask of me. You don't pray for natural rain except something goes wrong. But when it has to do with spiritual rain, you must ask. Ask of me rain in the time of the latter rain. Zechariah 10 verse 1. And I will cause bright clouds. But as you are asking, make sure you know the precursors. There must be brokenness. There must be prayer. There must be pursuit of holiness. There must be repentance. You can't carry iniquity with you and you are asking for revival. And there must be love and unity. Can we pray for 2 minutes? A people that desire the latter rain. I don't know why God led me in this direction. But I feel there are people here God wants to use for His glory. So He wants them to understand truth. The veracity of truth as it is in the Bible. Can we pray for revival? The spirit of revival. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Oh,
that will come upon someone tonight is for empowerment for kingdom advancement. Can I tell you something? There are many people who are preaching. There are many people who say they are men of God. But I can tell you that men are scarce. God is in dire need of men. I was telling God's servant, this week alone, this is the fourth conference I'm ministering. I was in Takoradi, Ghana, Monday to Wednesday. I returned to Nigeria on Wednesday night and preached at the Platform National Convention. That's the convention of lawyers in this country, in Abuja. On Thursday, I left for Jalingo. I preached Thursday night, Friday morning, and returned to Abuja Friday. Saturday, I'm here. I'm returning to Abuja tomorrow. I'm preaching in church. And on Monday, I'm taking off out of the country. Listen, God needs men. I'm telling you, God needs men. Men must rise, but there is a fire encounter you need to rise. And if you don't rise, what God does is that He gives speed to the generation behind you so that they can bridge up. That's why you are seeing many young voices rise. Because if the quorum is not complete in a generation, God will add speed to the generation behind. Some of us are now preaching with ministers that are ahead of our generation. Because not everybody that should have risen in that generation rose. So God gave us speed. And in our own generation, there is a depletion of rank. God is giving those behind us speed to catch up. So you can't sleep. If you sleep, you'll be lost. And there will be no room for redemption. Because every space will be taken. Gatekeepers must rise. Can we pray for 1 minute? Father, give me a baptism of fire tonight. A baptism of fire. A baptism of fire. This prayer is not for everybody. It's for those who are hungry. It's not for everybody. It's for those who want an encounter. It's for those who desire the fire. The fire of the Spirit. The fire of the Spirit. Taketaropa rakatana saparaka tua.
The Lamb of God who speaks.
necessary. But because our time is limited, I will just make two declarations. But I want your heart to open now, because God is about to wake someone's ordination. Ushers, you will help me now. I'm just looking for 7 people. That's enough sign that God has moved over this congregation. Everyone listening to me now that is ready for service. Everyone that will say, Lord, use me for your glory. Everyone that will say, Lord, I give up everything to serve your purpose in my generation. Lord, I ask now, let the fire of revival, let it find them. Wherever they are standing, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, those with me on the altar, now, Holy Ghost, touch! The voice of the waters. Bend the cry on the altar and awaken nation orders. Not in the corridors of power. When God wants to affect territories, one of the things he does is to exalt men. But it's a grace, because promotion does not come from the west. It does not come from the south. It comes from the Lord. And then number two, there is a grace for signs and wonders. He said that you might stretch forth thy hands, that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child. As I speak now, the oil for leadership, the oil for leadership, and the oil for signs and wonders. Usher, please help me. I'm seeing that fire descend here radically. There are 3 of you that the wave will hit you so hard. In the name of Jesus, on ground, online, take that fire. He said the house of the Lord kept growing, not just by the work of the builders. He said by the prophesying. By the prophesying of Zechariah, the son of Edo. By the prophesying. By the prophesying. Please hear this. Where that lady with a black gown, with an ash kind of apron, that lady there, where you are standing, that one that tied her hair, don't come, don't worry, I'm just using you as a reference. I'm seeing somebody there that's having a heart condition. There's a challenge around your chest. I'm seeing somebody with a condition there that God is touching now. Is there anybody there? Sister, lift your hand. Let them see you and know what I'm talking about. Lift your hand. Let them see you. Tablets of your heart, I decree, be healed now. Now. Breathe in and breathe out. Out of time. I'm receiving some signals now, but we're out of time. Please lift your hands. Everyone here afflicted. I'm seeing somebody on this right row here, somewhere around the middle there, in between these 2 ACs. It's like your tummy is being bloated. You are sensing a symptom. There's a condition with your tummy. Your breath is choked, and sometimes you feel like your tummy is being bloated. Is there anybody like that? In between these 2 ACs, I'm seeing somebody in the middle there. Lift that hand where? Sister, are you the one? Wait, everybody drop your hand. I want to deal with the case. Are you the one with that symptom? Come.
Come, come, both of you.
Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits among the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise.
Kadosh, 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 Kadosh,
somebody's bone. I'm seeing somebody, it's like your hip shifted out of course. Maybe you had an accident or something. If what I'm sensing is correct, there's somebody at the back. At the back, I'm seeing that condition. There's this pain on your hip. It has been there for a while. It's like you fell and your hip shifted. Who is that person? Please come, sir. The Lord is shifting that bone back.
Of Jesus, I take authority over every affliction, bodily affliction, circumstantial affliction that your children have carried on ground, online, until now. In the name of Jesus, I command the chains to break now. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, receive your healing now. Ears, be healed. Eyes, be healed. Organs, kidney, liver, lungs, every organ that is diseased, be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to bones, muscles, ligaments, every pain, every broken joint. Right now, receive strength and be healed in the name of Jesus.
You are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Rest of all Holy Spirit. I know you are here. You are here in your glory. I know.
Affliction, I decree that affliction is terminated now. Help her. Everyone here demonized,
tormented by devils, I command their hold over you to be broken forever. Everyone carrying any form of arthritis pain, I decree that pain leaves you forever in the name of Jesus. And hear this. Every circumstance orchestrated into your life by demons to frustrate your existence, I bring a new program. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, the lines fall unto you in pleasant places. Receive a goodly heritage now. Take those hands and honor the Lord. Brother, you are healed. Check, the pain is gone. Check it. Did you have an accident? You fell. For how long has that been? Over 5-6 years. And you've had that pain on your hip. And you can't feel it anymore.
No, I can't.
You can't feel it.
No, I can't.
It's gone forever. Now hear me. How many of you have noticed the change? Just wave your right hand. No, not everybody. I know God has done something in the spirit. But if you have noticed a physical change in your body, let me see your right hand. All of you that have noticed change, come and meet me here. I'm not taking the testimony, but we are not lecturers. And this is what you will carry from this meeting. Come to the right here quickly. Come to the right. You have noticed a physical change. Are you just looking like that? Give the Lord a big hand. Somebody shout glory! In the last days, the last days are seasons of revival. Don't be told, be part of it. And for those of you here, you have not received Jesus as your Lord, you are taking a big risk. And this is not, I belong to a church. If the word ends now, you don't know where you are going. I can tell you, you are going to hell. Those who are going to end up with God, they know. If you don't know, it means you are not part of it. But this is your opportunity. You want to make Jesus your Lord publicly without shame. Lift your right hand. Lift it now. I'm seeing hand. Yes. Lift it. Be bold. He said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father. Lift that hand so that you are a part of what God is doing. You are lifting your hand. Come to the front now. Come to the front boldly. Clap hands for Jesus. We will take your testimony some other time. But come to the front. Place your right hand on your chest. It's a sign of surrender. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe He died for my sins. Some people are coming. Let's wait for them. It's so important. So this confession is not a ritual. It's a proclamation of your faith. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe He died for your sins, and if you believe He rose from the dead for your justification, you shall be saved. But you need to affirm it. That's why we are doing this. So say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe He died for my sins. On the third day, He rose from the dead for my justification. I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus from today is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Say it, all of you. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' name I declare. The Lord keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, lift up His countenance over you, and give you peace. All the days of your life you will stand and born for Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand. Look at the number of people Jesus has taught. Are you just looking like that? Somebody talk!
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org.